That we'll be having a special gathering. Many of those in special gathering will be baptized that night. Just affirm Brand is making arrangements on that. I do not know who all will be, but he's taking care of that area. God loves us. Because of God's love for us, he desires a relationship with us. I thought about the vows renewed last night with Neil and Teresa. It was very touching. But love has to go beyond words. Every one of us realize that. That love is not just a word spoken, but it is a life lived. And out of that comes a desire of relationship. And I pray that you love God. And again, I want to reemphasize, loving God and loving the things of God is two different things. Loving God means God doesn't have to do anything. You love Him. But in that, you'll find that He does a lot. The question has always been, do we love Him? Not that He loves us. We resolve that. And with that, we want to please Him and walk in the fullness of His will. I have a question. Do you want to walk in the fullness of God's will for your life today? If you love Him, then you're going to emphatically say, yes, Pastor, I do. Maybe it'll help if you understand the basic definition of the word will. It means preferences. I've often teased about the joke I did several years ago called, Does God Like Snickers Bar? And when I preached it, I never made this emphasis, and it came to me later on. I can tell you about God's position about Snickers Bar. I really can. It's not His preference. Because His preference is revealed to us in His Word. If Snickers bars was real important to Him, it would say, Thus saith the Lord, I like Snickers bars. Behold, I do not want Hershey. Because His Word reveals His desires, His pleasures. The Word reveals His will or His preferences. I found out it's also very interesting that the word will in many references in Scripture also means determination. Determined to be able to perform the preferences of someone else. We can see that associated with the last will and testament of someone who has passed away. I want my will. I want my preferences. I am determined to have it done in the way that I have outlined. Yet as a Christian myself, and especially as a pastor, I often hear, even from my own lips, people struggling and asking the question, what is God's will? What is God's will? Some of the things are very obvious, and you know it. God's will is for you to be saved. We can easily accept that because we have learned that whosoever means me. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever is inclusive, it includes me, it includes you, it includes every human being who has ever lived, is inclusive in God so loved the world. So His desire and His will, without a doubt, is that you will be saved and that you will help others come to know Him. That is also His determination. His will is for you to worship Him. Now, worship sometimes is awfully hard to understand. But when we have a relationship with God and we know God, worship begins to be more understood by our spirit than our head. Because sometimes worship doesn't make sense. Sometimes worship may be reverent as we bow in His presence. And sometimes worship may be a hallelujah hoedown and a Holy Ghost kicky fit. I don't know what a kicky fit is. It just came up. It is His will for you to mature and to be like Him in holiness and righteousness. I wrote this down. He wants His children to be His fitting image. I don't know how many of you were here last night, but I'm going to tell you, in all my years, I've never seen a young man look so much like his daddy than the picture of Joshua and Neil Jones. And I kept hearing that terminology all night long. He's the spitting image of his daddy. I like what Neil told me. I said, Neil, you know you look just like Joshua. And he said, no, Pastor, Joshua looks just like me. He wants you to be the image of Him. But you say, but aren't we supposed to be placed into the image of Jesus? Well, Jesus said, hey, guys, if you've seen the Father, you've seen Me. It is His will to save you. It is His will to use you to see other people saved. It is His will that you worship Him. It is His will for you to mature and to be developed into the image of Jesus. So happens those are the three declarations of the church. So why do we continue to say, how do I know what God's will is for my life? Well, if you don't, and if that is not sufficient for you, I shared with the Sunday school this morning, and just a few moments, I'm going to share my text with you, and I'm going to tell you without any hesitation a statement I'm about to make. I am going to guarantee you by Scripture that you can absolutely know the will of God for your life before you walk out of this church this morning. And don't sit there and look pious, because if I need to, I'll go out there and point to the ones who said, I don't know what God's will is for me. I don't know what God wants me to do today. What does God want me to do today? I'm telling you, before I leave this platform, before this service is over, by the declaration of the Word of the living God, I am absolutely 100% positive that I'm going to be able to speak to you the Word of God and tell you God's will for every human being inside of this church. And it's not just saying He wants you saved. It's not just saying He wants you to worship Him. It's not just saying He wants you to mature. But it is His perfect will for what God wants you to do. You ready for that? Some of you are way ahead of me. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. My friends, there may be some passages of Scripture that need interpretation. There may be some that need explanation. There may even some that we may want to have exaggeration. But I'm telling you, there is no passage of Scripture more clear in the Word of God than 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. And it absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, tells you what God's will is for your life. Some of you may seem disappointed that you finally realized what I was talking about, and you said, I always know that. I've always known that. That does not answer my question. I'm going to tell you today, yes, it does. And I'm going to tell you why I know that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How many of you agree with me that whosoever means you? Raise your hand. Well, if you agree to that, then you ought to know that you means you. We're biblical enough to interpret whosoever. Well, let's interpret you. That means you, every one of you. You. That to be in God's will and to know God's will for your life, God has laid it out as clear as a bell. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Well, Pastor, that's so simple. I thought you were going to give us some deep theological insight. Well, let me kind of help along the line, make you feel better. I'll give it to you in the NIV. Giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will. Well, Pastor, just go ahead and have a benediction. Send us home, home. We all knew that. Well, let me tell you something. It is never fully understood as many scriptures until you reverse it. Because the reversal of thanksgiving, and giving thanks, is defined in three words: grumbling, complaining, and criticizing. I want you to listen to me very closely. There is absolutely not one, not even the hint of one place where a child of God is to grumble, complain, or criticize about anything in their life. It would do me no good to say, all of you who have lived that and reached that, please stand up. I wrote down here to just kind of make sure that I stay on track. All scriptures reveal that criticizing, complaining, moaning, and groaning is the absolute reverse of the will of God in your life. What was it Steve Messick taught us a long time ago? You can shout now. What is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you? The will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you is to see Christ in your circumstances and in your situation by the revelation of Jesus Christ, that you can give thanks no matter what's going on. Now, I want you to listen to me just a second. There is a time and a place where concerns that may come into our lives need to be dealt with. But concerns and dealing with concerns is not griping, complaining, or murmuring. There is no place, I'm going to repeat that over again, there is no place, no justification, no excuses, no blaming someone else. In the life of a Christian, there is no grumbling, complaining, criticizing, or murmuring. There is no place in your life, saints of God. None. And every time you do, you step, not in knowing the full will of God, but you are stepping out of the will of God. I made the statement this morning that I prayed and believed that when I walk out of this pulpit this morning, you will have a different pastor than you had as the one that walked in. Because I am guilty as sin of my own sermon this morning. And it's going to take an infiltration of the Holy Ghost to change many of these things in my life. Just to refresh, what began to spark this in my spirit was not circumstances and situations looking at you or looking at me, but what I said to you not too long ago when I talked about letting and seeing God's power move in the latter day, that we would see better than what we've seen, and that He is saving the best for last. You remember us talking about that? And I began to go back through the book of Acts, and I studied and taught in this church for months about the book of Acts. And then all of a sudden it's being revolutionized in my own spirit again. And in that is where I found the devastation of grumbling and moaning and complaining, and how it infiltrated the early church and literally reversed it and changed its direction. I said I'm going to keep repeating it. I'm going to keep repeating it for my own ears. as well as the ears of every saint that wants to know the will of God. There is no place in your life for grumbling, complaining, criticizing, and mumbling. No. And the moment you do it, I don't care how saintly you are, I don't care how long you've been a Christian, I don't care whether you're a pastor, a board member, a Sunday school teacher, I don't care who you are. The moment you begin, you are moving in the opposite direction of the will of God in Christ Jesus. My goodness, Father. And everything gives thanks. Everything. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Reverse it. Every time you oppose giving thanks, you are walking out of the will. But you don't know my circumstances. Don't care. Doesn't mean that I don't have a compassion for your circumstances. But your circumstances has absolutely nothing to do with you walking in the will of God. Ain't no chandelier swinging today. Hear me. God did not say unless, or if, or what about. You don't know the depth of my hurts, my pains, and my circumstances. No, I don't. He does. You ready for revelation? You've never caught him off guard. And believe it or not, he still isn't surprised. This may seem corny, I still believe it. He never goes, you see that? He never looks to the center. I can't believe that happened. I can't. No, he never does that. He said, how in the world are children getting that mail? Not only does he know how you got in it, he knew you was going to get in it, and he already made a plan for you to get out of it. Woo! Boy, that's shouting right there. But he says in the midst of it, I'm going to let you walk in the fullness of my will. I'm going to let you know where you are in your relationship with me. But Father, how will I know? You just give thanks. Well, that sure is easy to preach. God, that's hard to live. But what will motivate you to live it? Your love. As I was seeking the Lord's direction for the message, God, help me to understand how this is applied. Help me understand the consequences of this in the area of disobedience to you. So I began to look at scriptures, and I'm telling you right now, I do not have enough time to look at all the scriptures that may be concerning as far as grumbling and moaning and groaning and complaining brought about. But I can tell you without hesitation, every one of them that I looked up, the result was the same. It was never God. And so I began to look up just a few, and I just had these here before you. Just let me just read just a couple. Wherefore does a living man complain, for a man will then be punished of his sin. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Listen to 1 Corinthians 10:10. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and was destroyed by the destroyer. Murmuring, complaining, criticizing opens up the door for the destroyer to come in and to do what the destroyer does. What does the destroyer do? He destroys. He comes to kill, steal, and what? Destroy. Jesus said, you murmur, you complain, you criticize, you grumble. And I'm going to tell you something. You are literally swinging open the door for the destroyer of the body of Christ to come into your life and turn you around and send you out of the will of God. My God, I never saw this so deep. I just thought we were supposed to be happy and tell everybody we was, even when we weren't. How's things going? Well, my dog died, but I'm thankful. We thought that's what we were supposed to say, right? It is. I'm thankful. I know I'm going through a hard time, but I really thank God I'm going through it. Rawr. You're crying that out in the back of your breath that, God, if you don't change this soon, I don't know if I'm going to be able to hang on to you anymore. I don't know if I can get through it if you don't change these things. You walk up to somebody, how is it? Yeah. Yeah. I'm thankful. I know something good's going to come out of it. Well, that's true. But the truth is it true to you? Because if it's true to you, you'll be walking in the will of God. And you'll be thanking God. Well, I know y'all think I pick on this. I guess because of maybe I'm more guilty of this than anybody else. Have you ever thought of how ludicrous something is? Oh, God, help me. This is so dumb. Lord, we just want to ask you to bless this food. We thank you for the provision. May you bless the hands that fixed it in Jesus' name. That's the hardest bread I have ever had in my life. I wouldn't feed that to a dog. God, I thank you. I thank you for my spouse. Lord, I thank you for my wife. I know she's a gift of God. God, if you don't do something to that woman. Okay, ladies, and vice versa. Can you imagine what that sounds like to God? God, I thank you for my car. If I got to drive this piece of junk one more day, if you're not driving what I'm driving, he's walking. I heard somebody say this the other day, and I think maybe it was me. I don't know if I can come because that air conditioner is not working. God, I did come there that morning. I forgot to turn the air conditioner on last night. It's going to be hotter than you over there, man. If you need just a little talk, if you need just a little more friendly, you're probably not friendly because you're talking about it. God, I can thank you for what I'm doing for you. You can if you want to do it. How am I going to do that? How am I going to feed it? How am I going to do it? Wonder how are we going to do it? Really? How are we going to do it? No new revelation. There's only one way. Not only do you have to believe in him, you have to believe it. You let that sink in? Not only do you have to believe in him, you have to believe it. Believing in what? Everything he's ever said. That he has not left you nor forsaken you. that He really does know how you feel. He really does know how to get you through the mountain. He really knows how to take the bad and make you good. If you ever doubt that, I'm going to get to the cross. I got to thank you, Lord, help me to apply this. And I went back to what I said a while ago. The will of God is for you to be saved. And if God comes in and saves your life, then you will seek His will and be thankful. The Lord just spoke to my heart that day to it'll revolutionize your witness to other people coming to the Lord. It was like He said to me, I won't have any problem with my church bringing people to me if they're thankful for their own salvation. You won't have any difficulty because you won't have to determine whether someone has agitated or irritated you, or someone doesn't fit into your mold, or something has crossed your path that has determined that they're not worthy to be saved, but you'll recognize that the will of God for you is to be saved, and the will of God for them is to be saved, and the will of God for you to give thanks for the opportunities given to you to go out and share the gospel with somebody. The Bible says the commandments of the Lord are not grievous to His children. Why? Only and when? Only when we are giving thanks to Him. Being thankful means that our minds will honestly be clear to worship and praise Him. I didn't understand that when the Lord spoke to me. I said, God, what is being thankful has to do with being able to worship and praise You? I thought we worshiped and praised You because who You were, and You're worthy to be praised. And the light of the Lord said, but Roger, you can't do that if you've got grumbling and murmuring and complaining and grieving in your heart. You can't never give Me full worship and praise. Why? Because you're not in My will. I mean, are you getting this? Please don't let my inabilities prevent what the Holy Ghost wants to say to you today. I may not be eloquent in speech, but if the Holy Ghost will move and you will allow Him, you will hear what He is saying to you. You cannot complain about everything that's going on around you and walk into the fullness of worship to God. You can't do it. It's a simple fact. You can't be out of His will and worship Him fully in His will. You will never lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ like He would have you to if you complain and murmur and gripe about everything that goes on around you. If all you do is see fault, it doesn't work. And you'll never be molded into the image of Jesus. I got to conclude that this because I can't preach that. The crafting hand of God will be stopped on the potter's wheel. The only mold is Christ. Murmuring, complaining, criticizing, pardoning. Not just a simple thing, of course. Pardon me. The Bible says that God pardons. I've heard people say that God predestined Pharaoh to be wrong. No, he just pre-saw that he would be. If Pharaoh and Judas and all them, saw all of them never had a chance to turn in God's Elijah. He couldn't say whosoever, he'd have to say whosoever except Pharaoh, Judas, and that other one. What hardened Pharaoh's heart? Ready? God's word. God said, go tell Pharaoh. Go give Pharaoh my story. And Pharaoh didn't want to do it. And it hardened Pharaoh. Pastor, help me find the will of God. Am I supposed to do this? Am I supposed to teach Sunday school? Am I supposed to go out and teach people? Am I supposed to be a preacher? Am I supposed to be a teacher? Am I supposed to be an evangelist? Am I supposed to get married? Am I supposed to have children? Am I supposed to do this? How am I supposed to do that? I don't know all those things. But I do know this. The answer you need, God will give you when you're up next to Him, as close as you can get. And everything you